Most protein drinks ask you to choose between results and taste. Bucked Up decided that's a ridiculous trade-off. Bucked Up makes lightly carbonated protein drinks, 25 grams of protein per can, clear protein, not milky or thick, and they taste so good that 25 grams of protein almost feels like a bonus. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Detroit Basketball!
JD, another jam!
This is The Rich Eisen Show. From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Katinga Thunder Moneyball, Thunder by 19!
Earlier on the show, Prime Video NFL analyst Andrew Whitworth. Coming up, UCLA head coach Bob Chesney. Jaguars general manager James Gladstone. Comedian Tom Segura. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. James Gladstone, the GM of the Jacksonville Jaguars, is about to join us on the show. In about 20 minutes' time, we just said farewell to Andrew Whitworth. The comedian Tom Segura will be here in studio in hour number three. But we're pleased to have kick off hour number two a man who has got a lot of people in this town very excited as he has taken over the UCLA football program after several successful years at James Madison and then Holy Cross before that. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Chesney is here in studio. Good to see you, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Wonderful setup you got here.
I appreciate you saying
phenomenal people. Unbelievable.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. If you don't mind me saying, it looks like you already have a Southern California tan. You tan easily from being the East Coast?
I do. I want to wear a hat. I just can't really do it. And
I wouldn't wear a hat if your hair. But you got two bald guys right here. Don't do that.
No hats.
Let it fly, man.
Sunscreen. I just miss on it almost every single day. I'm halfway through practice, and I'm like, man, I put nothing on my face again.
Careful. Be careful.
I know.
Be careful moving out here to Southern California. It'll get you.
It's dangerous.
Because it's every day, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's almost every day. Thank goodness that's the weather we live in right here. So how has it been? Like, what? How about this?
Yeah.
What does one do when one takes over a program like UCLA? What was your orders of business?
Yeah, well, I think you got to also go back to when did you take over UCLA?
Yes.
And that was in the middle of us about to go into our Sun Belt championship game at JMU. And then we still had the playoffs, hopeful playoffs coming up, which we were able to make. So, you know, that all started. It all broke on a Sunday night. And it was about, you know, we're going to play that championship game, host it for the first time at home. Mm-hmm. And you just knew there was a lot of work that had to go into that game, the next game, but also you had to start into UCLA as well. So there was the ability to start building a staff. And I said it the other day, but it was interesting because you're 3 hours, you know, behind out here, mm-hmm. you know, 3 hours ahead there. So it worked out okay. You'd get to the end of the day, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you'd look back and it'd be 7 or 8 over here. So you had a couple more hours that you could afford yourself, which wouldn't happen any other way. So that kind of worked out. So, you know, one of the first things was getting a GM in place, building out the recruiting department. And then, you know, I already had the roster broken down and an idea of the players and what we needed, et cetera, who was in the portal, you know, or who was about to go in the portal. All those things were pretty well known. So we start there with the people. And then after that, it was a matter of getting out here. Transfer portal opened up the same day that school started. So you had to, again, bring in a whole bunch of guys as you were still looking at the team in place, wondering what their position is on you know, within the program. And you're just trying to peck away at it every single day and just give everything you got to try to build this roster, because you only got one shot at doing that.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, listen, I don't know if you pay attention to this sort of stuff, but we certainly in the media do. An organization called 247, 247 Sports has you with the fourth best recruiting class right now. So yeah, obviously you've checked a few boxes here.
Yeah.
What do you sell? Like, what's your sale?
Nothing. I specifically say to our coach, we're not selling anything. We're presenting things, right? And we're presenting what we have here at UCLA. And I think when you go through it, and I talk about this a lot, but it's the number one public school in the country, right? Then you add in the fact of our location. Mm-hmm. Then you add in the fact that you have, you know, three national champions this year, maybe another one or two coming up in your athletic department, first round draft picks, Olympic athletes, you know, and that's not even talking about the campus yet. You get into campus and the future CEOs and the, you know, the doctors, the lawyers, the engineers, just all those people. It's a 8% acceptance rate, I think, right now, which means out of 100 people applying, 92 don't get in. You know, so you're really surrounded by greatness. And I think that's important for our guys to understand, is that it's our time now as football to make sure we put this program back on the map. Everybody else is winning. Everybody else is winning at a high level in the classroom, out on the sports fields, in the, you know, arenas, as Corey and her basketball team, like it. Everybody, you have a chance to, you know, breathe some rare air based on the people that you're surrounded with at UCLA. And I think that's what we're presenting. And then we're just figuring out who understands that. They come and watch a practice and understand how we're going to do things and figure out if they want to be part of that.
Well, if they watch a spring game, they saw Corey Close, who you just referred to.
Yes.
You brought out the world champion, the national champion, head coach of UCLA basketball. Yeah. Out there, she called some plays. Like, so you've already gotten to know her and yes, integrate yourself into the athletic department in that way?
Yeah, we've done it. I mean, she was probably one of the first ones to reach out to me when I got here, and I thought that was really cool because she was on the brink of doing some pretty special things at that moment and took time to reach out to me. And you know, we went back and forth on text a whole bunch. I'd share some quotes or videos with her that we were sharing with our team, and she'd do the same with, you know, what she's doing with her team, and just try to be there and support them as much as we possibly can. So then she came out, and it was her and Adam Wright, who's, I think, whether he played or coached, 12-time national champion in water polo. Mm-hmm. So he was out there going against Coach Close, and he ended up coming out with the win in the end of it. But we gave them a play call sheet, kind of like a Madden thing with the pass plays, the run plays, mm-hmm, you know, trick plays. And they actually put in their own trick plays. Corey had two of her own.
Oh, really? What did she dial up?
She dialed up a little flea flicker. And then she had Adam Wright had a reverse out of an I formation.
Well, then.
Yes, exactly. So then that ended up working out with a throwback to the quarterback. So it was, they did some research. They were excited about it, and they went in there and had a great time. And it was great to have two of that caliber coaches, you know, with our guys, and our guys embraced them like they were their own coaches. And I thought it was a pretty cool moment for both of them and for our program.
Yeah, we're big fans of Corey's here on the show here, and also Women's Sports Now, which is produced out of here. And she's awesome.
The best. I mean,
to have her around a team and, you know, and have her sort of represent UCLA to your new team here, mm-hmm, even though she's clearly well-known to the players who are coming back. It's a great example,
without a doubt. Yeah, it's phenomenal. You watch their team and just the real, true joy they have to play that game.
Yes.
They're inspirational when you watch them. And I watched them come out of the locker room into that national championship game, and there was no pressure. They weren't feeling any weight on their shoulders. They were very prepared and connected, and I thought it was pretty, you know, awesome to watch how they started that game. It got really physical right before half, and they just continued to battle, and they ended up being the more physical team and walked away with a national championship. Well deserved.
Bob Chesney, the new head coach of UCLA football, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Going from James Madison to the Big Ten, we've seen that before. The man who you replaced at James Madison did that at Indiana. Do you have any relationship with Kurt Cignetti?
Not really. We shared a moment down in Houston at the Bear Bryant Awards. So he and I hung out for a little bit there. He was swamped by a lot of people, though.
I'm sure.
You know, just coming off the national championship. So, but we had not really communicated a whole lot before that. But our paths from Division II to FCS to FBS are similar. He had opportunities, you know, at Alabama and higher levels. I never did in my career. So I think that, you know, we actually missed him by 1 year. When I was at a Division II school, mm-hmm. we were playing IUP where he was the coach, but he had just left. I think this was in the Elite Eight. We ended up playing them and lost to them by 5 at the end of the game, but he had just walked away from that program. That would have been a chance to cross over with them. Hadn't had that opportunity.
Well, I'm just wondering whose brain do you pick? Like who's in the Bob Chesney circle that, yeah. that you could reach out to say, all right, Big Ten's clearly a bit of a different ball of wax. I mean, it is still just like the movie Hoosiers. I mean, the football field is the same size,
right.
you know,
yep. Yep.
but it's just, it's a different world in yeah. to which you're entering.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for me, you know, even when I was at D3, I spent a lot of time trying to be around, like we were in New England, around the Ivy League programs and how much can I learn from them? Then I got to D2 and Brian Kelly, who was at Notre Dame at the time, was an alum of the D2 school that I was at. So I went out there and spent, you know, 3-4 days, you know, for 3 or 4 years in a row out there with him, learned a lot about the sports science, you know, that behind the way they practice, the GPS, you know, player loads and intensities and all these things that come with the way you practice and play, nutrition, you know, they were doing things, you know, the blood work on their players and just all the different things that were like these next level thoughts for me that were, you know, pretty cool. So I got to learn a lot from him. And then I had a chance to, when I was at New England or up in, you know, Holy Cross, our women's lacrosse coach happened to be Amanda Belichick. So I had a chance to spend a lot of time with, you know, Coach Belichick over the Patriots. And I thought that was really informative on how to run meetings and defensive scheme and offensive scheme and just the way they practiced, the way they did things. That was very helpful for me. And then, you know, I've just spent a lot of time studying and learning and being connected to a lot of other people leadership wise with, you know, different, you know, ex-Navy SEALs, whatever it might be. And then I grew up in a little tiny coal mining town in Pennsylvania, and Brett Veach, who's the GM of the Chiefs, you know, is from that same town. So, you know, there's a lot of people that I have a chance to reach out to at higher levels to just figure out how it all works. And then just know that I always want to be a lifelong learner. I don't want to be at a point where I feel like I know everything, because I just don't think that ends up working out really well. So I want to learn new things every single day, and I rely on a lot of those people to help.
So if I asked you what you bring to the equation and how you would tell UCLA fans what you're going to do, would you say to Google you?
No, I would not.
So you got a different, you have a different approach?
Yeah, no, but I think that's awesome. That's one of one. And that's just a big time move, man.
I did Google you. Anybody who does can see that you have won yeah. where you've been. And so what is your philosophy? What can you tell Bruins fans what your philosophy is
yeah.
and how it will work,
yeah.
you know, amongst Oregon up north?
Yeah.
And obviously the Ohio State and yeah. the institution that they refer to as the school up north,
yeah.
which is mine in Michigan. What would you tell UCLA fans
yeah.
about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that we're in uncharted territories right now. You know, I think for us to be in this situation where we have a good recruiting class that we're putting together right now speaks volumes of, you know, the desire to be at UCLA. It's also the number one applied to school in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's a lot that goes into that. And I think for us, you know, just embracing that idea that we can be the best, embracing the idea that to be fourth in recruiting, you know, why not be third or second or find a way to be first? Why not do those things? And that takes a lot, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, commitment that needs to come from our alumni, but I think now is the perfect time for it. And I think they're ready for that. So, you know, what does it all look like in the end is that we got to make sure we put the best players on the field that we possibly can,
mm-hmm.
and that we hold them to extremely high standards and we coach them really, really hard every single day. And we got to make sure we get, you know, back to playing a disciplined physical brand of football, period. And I think that's what all those best teams do. They have elite athletes, you know, high level coaches, and they just demand the most out of each other and they hold each other to standards every single day. And that's what we got to be able to do.
So a few minutes left here with Bob Chesney, UCLA head coach for the football program right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You're from James Madison. That's where you were hired from. James Madison made the college football playoffs. And the conversation about how to improve the playoffs and how to improve what's going on in college football, the AFCA, the American Football Coaches Association, just came out with some ideas that I'm going to bounce off you in a second.
Yeah.
But first things first, what do you say to people who think that James Madison's of the world don't belong in the college football playoffs? What do you think about that?
I think if we had a little bit of a better showing, you know, we could have said something a little bit differently. And I think, you know, it took us a half to figure out that speed and that, you know, just the size and the things that came with it. But it happens. It happens in basketball all the time. You watch, you know, those low seeds beat a high seed. It's going to happen at some point in football as
you
well.
You think so?
I do. I really think
we're going to have some sort of Cinderella glass slipper, 16 beats a one. It'll be a 12 beats
yeah,
a one.
Yeah, I don't or think it'll be a 16 and a one. Yeah, yeah.
Or I guess would it be what a 12 20. Would beat a five, right? Or 16 beats a nine, depending on the expansion or what have you that might come. You think that would happen?
I think it can happen. I think that you look at the you know, the grouping of players that have come from those that lower level.
Yes.
You know, the group of five, and you know, you watch them go on to the next level as they get recruited up to that level and they do and perform at a high level. I think there's a team out there, or there will be a team out there that has enough caliber players to be able to, you know, give someone a shot and possibly pull off a win. I'm not saying they could go two, three, four rounds deep, but I do think that is possible.
Well, I mean, and again, that's a above many pay grades about whether these teams are allowed in or not. And there's lawsuits and things of that nature that I'm sure commissioners of conferences are keenly aware of. But I do love the AFCA ideas, you know, especially getting rid of conference championship games, moving things up, keeping things going six days between games. You like it too?
I do like it. I do like all those things. And I know, you know, in the Sun Belt, we had to play in that championship game, right? There was a year in my D3 life where we played in that championship game and it actually knocked us out of the playoffs. And another team that was lower went into the playoffs because we took another loss. And that's how they viewed the losses. They didn't want to see too many losses on that schedule. So I think that, and then you're playing the most physical, toughest game, and then you're walking that team from that conference out onto the field into the playoffs at that point in time after they just beat up each other, you know, and I think that's one thing to me that there's teams that don't do that, have a bye and then walk into the playoffs. That's a huge advantage. And I do think that that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then 6 days between games, you like something like that?
Yeah. I've played on the shorter weeks before where we've you know,
well, I guess it's no fewer than 6 days. I mean, no fewer than six days between games.
Yeah.
I just kind of like the idea of a, but again, this is, I'm an NFL guy.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not coaching in the NFL.
Yes.
This is still college football and you're still dealing with student athletes. And I understand that, they're getting paid now, in certain ways. I do like the pace of one a week or one every, like, you know, 8 days, 9 days, like the max. Like the fact that Indiana went almost a full month in between playing against Ohio State for the Big Ten title.
Yes.
Which Oregon didn't have to, but still made it anyway.
Yes.
And then they played in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, the gap.
It's what are we doing?
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
Okay.
Yep.
So
I agree
you
with you. Yes.
Okay. So that's all I wanted. Thanks for coming on. No, I'm just kidding. No, I like it. And so that's something you think that was it? I don't know if you knew about the final vote here, but you think all coaches feel this way?
I would think so. I think that, you know, to keep the momentum rolling and to find yourself in a spot, not in that championship game, and then to find yourself being able to, like you said, not have a month between games, you know, I think that's an important thing. But now how does that work with the academic schedule, finals, all those things? It changes things a little bit. Everybody's on different schedules too. Not everybody runs a semester program. Some are on quarters. There's a lot of things that got to be factored into there. And I think everybody's just going to have to figure out within their own institution.
Right. Okay. So now what's your next order of business? What do we got?
Right now our coaches are on the road. So we're out there trying to, you know, hopefully complete this class in the very near future. Official visits are coming up over the next couple of weeks. And then we're on the 2028s, you know, partially already when we're on the road. So it's all just kind of just never stops. The spring game was on Saturday and we're just rolling right now.
Okay. Who drop a name. I know you're not a name dropper, but that from the UCLA world fan base, alumni base reached out to you. We're like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, I think Troy Aikman's obviously a pretty big one.
So
I think
Aikman did. I saw some of his photos on his Instagram.
Yeah. So he came back. They do a cool thing where all the quarterbacks from the past come back together, and they just had a banquet the other day, raised money for the children's hospital.
Right. That's what I saw on his Instagram.
Phenomenal. And it was great to hear them get up and speak and hear their stories and just know that they were probably the leaders of every one of those teams, you know, and to have all of them in one room with just historic runs. Cade McNown and Troy Aikman and go through Gary Beben's in there. You just go through the different people that have, you know, just led these programs, the history and the, you know, excellence that was UCLA football and will be once again. I think that's all things that are, I think, pretty neat for us to be in a room with them. Yeah. But he was impressive. The most, you know, just an impressive guy.
He's Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman.
And MJD's kid is coming your way, right?
He is. Deuce? Sure is. Yep. He is.
All yep. right.
So he was at the spring game, was down on Friday, visited with us, and then ended up going to the spring game. And it all worked out in a really positive way. I'm really happy for their family, really happy for, you know, though, just everybody in general to just get a chance to see a very familiar name out there on the field doing his thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, congrats on everything that's gone on for you right now. And, yeah. You know, I guess, look, welcome to Southern California, even though you've been here for a few months. But,
yeah.
You know, we're here. So let us know whatever, you know, we can be part of your program and just have you on.
Yeah, anytime. Anytime. I'd love to be back. If you ever want to come out, watch a practice or be around, you guys are always, you know, more than welcome.
I appreciate you saying that. That's Bob Chesney, the new head coach of UCLA football. Did you clap eight times?
Exactly.
Is that an eight? Was that eight? Was that an eight clap right there, Mike?
Of course.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure, right? Got to make sure we're
count it out. Yeah.
Okay. Bob Chesney here on the Rich Eisen Show. James Gladstone of the Jacksonville Jaguars when we come back right here on the program.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Most protein drinks ask you to choose between results and taste. Bucked Up decided that's a ridiculous trade-off. Bucked Up makes lightly carbonated protein drinks, 25 grams of protein per can, clear protein, not milky or thick, and they taste so good that 25 grams of protein almost feels like a bonus. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
Rich Eisen here. You ever notice what happens when something big rolls into your city? A major tournament, a can't-miss concert, a high-stakes playoff game. Suddenly, fans are everywhere. Feels like everyone's trying to get in. Streets are packed. Hotels book up fast. And finding a place to stay? Not so easy. That's exactly why this can be a smart moment to think about your own space. If you're planning to be away, you can list your space on Airbnb while all of that's going on and earn some extra cash at the same time. You're not changing your routine. You're just making the most of the moment. From my years on the road, I can tell you what people are looking for during these big events. A comfortable home base. Something that feels like their own space in the middle of all the action. And when options are limited, places like yours could really stand out. So if you've ever thought about listing your space, this is a great time to give it a shot. When your city is at its busiest, your home could be exactly what someone is looking for. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Video of this, you know,
back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Bob Chesney signed our Rose Bowl seats again. They're behind Chris Brockman. There are two,
they're the greatest
seats from the Rose Bowl. You could see on the Disney Plus feed the chair on the right. Yeah, those are the both seats, and they're signed by
so many
anybody who's been in the studio who has either played, coached, or broadcast, or as of last week, performed at the Rose Bowl. Kenny Chesney signed the seat to the right, and Bob Chesney just signed the seat to the left. So we now have there's a Chesney on either seat.
Yes. Chesney on each cheek.
Seat three and seat four.
Stereo Chesneys.
Awesome. We just love that item. Yeah, it's visible every day on the Rich Eisen Show when you watch it.
It always freaks me out when someone like sits there but not even knowing. I'm like,
please don't
over.
I know. It's okay. There's still seats. They're still functional. Speaking of taking a seat.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
This broke while we were talking to Bob Chesney. You wanna give it to me, Mikey? Give it to me, please.
Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Anne-Marie, I see.
Breaking news.
Joel Embiid is not playing tonight.
Yeah.
Hip and ankle injuries, according to Shams.
Yeah, he was unable to participate in the shoot around this morning after experiencing increased soreness in both his ankle and hip.
So here's the good news, TJ. Is Embiid wasn't playing in game two in Boston, and the Sixers won that game.
Yeah, right.
So we'll see what happens tonight. But the Knicks, who have won their last three games by at least 25, first team to ever do such a thing in the playoffs.
$30 million.
Will be playing tonight at Madison Square Garden, up one game to none, coming off of the beatdown of the Sixers that had Embiid in it. And he didn't even play in the fourth quarter, and now he's not playing now. So
we'll see
that. He would be seeing a doctor in New York, but he's only allowed to see doctors from Philadelphia in New York. You know, so that's a problem. Unless you have a Philadelphia address, you're not allowed to be a doctor in New York.
That doesn't count.
Okay. Yeah. You imagine if the healthcare system was like run the way the Sixers are selling their tickets? Sure.
Doctor.
By the way, did you see the secondary ticket market says 60% of their tickets have been sold for games 3 and 4 outside of the Philadelphia area? Have you seen that?
By the way, not just Philadelphia doing this. The New York Post has an article that New York City eateries and bars have banned Philly cheesesteaks from the menu.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, so it's everybody.
It's like our politics now. Let's all just only have one system in each state.
So dumb.
And have it. I won't even go in that way.
But yeah, why even bother?
We're now gerrymandering sports tickets. Is that what's happening? and food stuff?
Cheesesteaks are one of the most delicious items
like
in the world.
You're missing out.
Like, what are we doing?
So Subway.
What you're doing, what you should do is you should have your cheesecake and eat it too by bouncing the Sixers. Well, have your food and your team.
Cake or
that's
steak.
The way to go. What are we doing?
I want steaks and cake.
Yeah, I know exactly. You know, to go into an establishment and not being able to choose your food. Could you imagine going to say a dinner where you want to eat something and somebody else decides what you can have? Can you imagine what a stupid thing that would? Wait a minute.
When it's the concept of the engagement, yes,
it's actually not a bad thing, Rich.
Tell me
Brockman.
I'm wrong. TJ, tell me
Chris,
there's no difference between what he just said. I want a cheesesteak. Why can't I have a cheesesteak when I go to an establishment? What's the difference between that and what he does for his birthday?
I think only because you know going into his birthday.
You know, exactly.
Those are the rules.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
Don't show up if you don't want
to. All right.
I want to play soccer, but why can't you let me use my hands?
I want a hamburger. No, I want a cheeseburger.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Spalding.
If somebody else drafts it before you.
That's why you're not invited.
I'm happy to not be
invited. Chris, it was fun.
Stay at home and eat what I wish.
That's true.
All right.
That's true.
Going down that wormhole.
Wow.
I mean,
so this whole business of Luka, is he going to be healthy or not? When's he coming back? We have no answers on that front, right?
Nobody knows.
Well, we finally heard from Luka, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's finally talking about
it. Today for the first time.
Good Lord. Luka, what's going on, man?
I'm just doing everything I can. Like I said, every day I'm doing stuff I'm supposed to do. Obviously recovering, now working. But like I said, doctor said 8 weeks. At the beginning of the first MRI. I'm just going day by day, and I feel better every day.
All right, so...
That's not inspiring me.
By the way, thank you to Dave McMenamin for shooting that on his phone. And
Dave.
We appreciate that from Dave.
Luca, blink twice if you're okay.
Reminds me, we got to get him back in here. Let's get Dave in here.
Yeah, where's he been?
I don't know, he's your college friend.
He is. I don't know.
That did not sound like a man who's like, I'm close.
No.
He looks like the reason why I haven't said anything yet is I got nothing to tell you.
Right.
You know?
I was in Spain yesterday. And flew me out here.
Okay.
You know who's upset with Luka right now? Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. He put a tweet out the other day, yesterday. He's like, he thinks he's like, Luka should just get a cortisol shot and suck it up and get out in the game. He wants Jeannie Buss to trade him after the season. I mean, I get it. Here's a man who spent, 320 years 320 days a year on the road getting beat up. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, yeah, it doesn't work like that, Rick.
No, yeah, yeah.
It does not work.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I feel like, you know, responding to Ric Flair the same way Kareem Abdul-Jabbar responded to that kid in the cockpit in the movie Airplane. You try dragging
Lambeer and
yeah, you tried dragging Lambeer and you Walton and Lambeer's ass up the court.
You tried guarding SGA yeah. while he's flip flopping.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I'm dealing with floppers.
Yeah.
What are you dealing with your folding chairs?
I mean,
just Dusty Rhodes and
Luke is one of the floppers.
Harley Race.
Is Luke one of the floppers?
I mean, I don't know what we're saying.
Maybe that's why he's staying out because this flopping stuff's all over the place.
Luke is like, hey, keep my name out.
Dan in Minneapolis wants to chime in, home of your Minnesota Timberwolves. What's up, Dan?
Dan.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call, man.
You got it, brother.
Hey, I want to make the argument. I'd be interested to hear your feedback. I think flopping is way more of a problem, detrimental to the product, than I do tanking. And this is coming from a lifelong Wolves fan who anybody over the age of, like, a first grader knows that we were historically – inept, terrible franchise until we got Ant. So all we had to look forward to, you know, by about the time Santa was coming down chimneys was the lottery and hopes of getting better. And nobody in the upper crust of the league cared. We were irrelevant. Nobody said boo about tanking or the bad teams. And I actually kind of feel like it's the same now. I don't really think fans care that much about tanking. I think it's more of a media and overall conversation, because again, I think the best teams and their fans are only concerned with the other good teams and contention and all that good stuff, and the bad teams are just kind of irrelevant for the most part, unless it's egregious. But as far as flopping is concerned, you know, there's only about 10 teams tops in the league that play hard in the regular season. And this is, again, coming from a Wolves fan who we mail it in completely. And then once the postseason occurs, we flip a switch. But a large part of that is because you can't play defense in the regular season. I mean, everybody flops. There's no benefit to playing hard defense. You foul. I mean, it's just it's unwatchable. And it's so much more enjoyable now watching the playoffs and seeing how everybody raises their game and is allowed to play physical defense. And I think the product is just better, and I think that's what is going to incentivize people to watch basketball year-round more, is if they just weed out this flopping nonsense like they kind of did with Harden years ago, but now we've somehow cycled back. So interested to see what you guys think about that. Thank you so much.
You bet. And toning down the flopping, and, you know, I think, didn't I see Phil Jackson saying he wants to what? Thank you for the call.
Wow.
Dan just like, I'm out of here. I made my point. I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know, didn't Phil Jackson say he wants to widen the court, too? To make the three-point shot in the corner more difficult,
right? I'm down.
Yeah, I don't know if the now you're messing with Chalamet's seat.
That's right.
So
can't do that.
Don't mess with Chalamet's seat.
Can't do that.
I don't know. I just hope your guys can stay within 25 points tonight. That's all.
I get a weird feeling that we
okay.
It'll be a I think it'll be a more competitive game than you think.
Right? Okay.
Not saying we're going to win it.
Okay. But good take.
I would be shocked if it's single digits.
Okay,
tonight.
Great. I can't wait to watch it. So I've got a power rankings.
Oh.
Everybody. I got a power rankings, and it's baseball season.
What kind of music you want, Rich?
You know what?
I mean.
Whatever you think, Mike.
Okay.
Whatever you think.
I'll go back.
The power rankings of Surefire Active Baseball Hall of Famers.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
These guys are, in my estimation, Surefire Hall of Famers. They're currently playing in baseball. I'm going to power rank them. Presented by SoFi.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
All right, now this is just gut feel. There's, you know, war, wins above replacement. You know, if you got a 60 war, that's usually good for a Hall of Fame. A little north of 60, you're golden. And it's just, like I said, you see him, and he's a Hall of Famer, and he's still playing well. In other instances, they might not be playing as well, but they've been around long enough. You'll get the gist of it. Here is my Surefire Active Baseball Hall of Famers presented by SoFi Power Ranked. It kills me to say this guy is a Surefire Hall of Famer. because sometimes it's just infuriating watching him. Manny Machado, I think, is 10 on this list.
Surefire.
I think he's surefire. His WAR coming into this season, 57.3. And I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think one day we are going to see him in Cooperstown giving a speech. And I just think he's...
Yeah, he's going to get the 400 home runs probably this year.
I think he's outstanding.
Yeah.
And he's always been outstanding, and he's been infuriating sometimes. The business where he's just going to, like, kick baseballs when it's just, like, obvious. Like, he just does stupid stuff. But he's still 10 on the list.
He's really good.
Number 9 on the list. His wins above replacement currently is entering this season was damn near 65. And this is going to be a theme. I'm putting Freddie Freeman here at 9. Freddie Freeman is going to be a sure. He is a surefire Hall of Famer. Would you not agree, gents?
I would agree.
Okay, and he's right there, and this is going to be a theme. He's not the only Dodger on this list.
No, he's not.
Okay, number 8 on this list. He is one of the best to play for his franchise ever. He is one of the best in Major League Baseball right now. And he is a guy who never gets talked about because he plays in Cleveland. Jose Ramirez is 8 on this list. This guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer as the day is long. I don't want to hear about it. And I'll tell you what, when you're sitting here thinking he's not a Hall of Famer, he's not this, he's not that, wait till your team's playing the Cleveland Guardians and watch him beat your ass and then watch him steal a base. And you're looking at him like, you know, it's kind of like, He could fit in Aaron Judge's pocket. You know what I mean? But he plays a big-time game, and he's one of the best in Major League Baseball. I'm putting Jose Ramirez here.
Top 10 MVP 6 years in a row.
I mean, there's no argument that he's a Hall of Famer.
He's
going to
be a 300-300 guy this season.
Yeah, and his WAR isn't above 60 yet, but screw it. I don't care.
Yeah, he's at 58.5.
All right. So, number 7 on this list. Just to show you, I'm fair and balanced. His WAR's not up there yet, but he has his comp. Let me get this right here. His comp through age 26 of his career, entering this season, his comp statistically is, let me get this right, Frank Robinson.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he was excellent.
Oh, and Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
Heard of him.
Put up. It's a Mets town.
Oh,
Juan Soto.
I think he's a little low on the list, but sure.
Oh, come on. Get out of here.
Should be like 2.
I mean, if he retired now, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, he won't.
Okay.
He's 27. He's at a 43 WAR already. 3 shy of 250 home runs. I mean, he's on his way.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's an all-time great.
Number 6. This guy's WAR is good enough, and you take a look at his career right now. 4 World Series rings, 8 trips to the All-Star Game, 7 Silver Sluggers, 6 Gold Gloves. He's led the majors in WAR 3 times, and he's got a batting title. His name is Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Love him.
He's number 6 on the list. And just dude, his career path, he's just so great.
Love him.
And he's great at any sport he tries.
Yep. He's the greatest.
And the Dodgers got him.
It's embarrassing. For
all right, top 5. Top 5, I'm putting Mike Trout at 5.
Yep.
Mike Trout's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Don't even have 5. That conversation.
That seems a little low.
No, I think is above him. But
I can think of 1.
Well, I'll give you right now. You can think more than that.
So. Yeah, totally.
I'm putting Aaron Judge at 4. He's unbelievable.
Yep.
Aaron Judge better than Mike Trout.
Aaron Judge is better than Mike Trout. Yes, it just did I stutter?
I'm legitimately. Yeah,
Aaron. Ooh, like all time?
All time is, yeah. Aaron Judge better.
Oh yeah.
Than
Oh yeah.
Trout.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How about that?
Okay. There have been some times where Judge has just personally willed the Yankees to actually win a division.
No, they got the same number of rings.
Okay. Now I'm aware of that. You could keep saying that as the day is long, but Aaron Judge is. All right. Call me biased. I don't care. Too bad.
That's fine.
4 on the list is Aaron Judge. Number 3 on this list is Max Scherzer. There's no way you put Trout above Max Scherzer. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you. I'm putting Max Scherzer at 3. I know, you know, his what he does right now isn't all of that, if you will. His WAR is 73.5 entering this season. What is it now? I don't know if it's better or anything like that, but the average Hall of Famer WAR is 60.
That's a foregone conclusion.
So
Trout's at 90, just saying.
I got it. Yeah. I understand. Well, I mean, who's replacing him? I'm sorry. And then number two is Justin Verlander. Yeah. He's number two on this list. He's still going, man. He's unbelievable. And number one is, his war is, I think, finally above 50 in his career, but I've never seen anybody like him. Shohei Ohtani's number one, a unicorn. We'll be talking about him. Our kids are talking about him. Their kids are talking about him. Their kids' kids' kids will be talking about him. I don't know if we're ever going to see anybody like him again. And that's a fact. And you could make the case that the rest of the players that we just mentioned, we'll see somebody similar or like him. Dodgers have three of them, you know. And you could make the case for more. I know you could make the case for others not being on this list. Obviously, Bryce Harper you could put on this list.
Hey, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
I mean, there are people who's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Lindor, Altuve, Arenado's up there. Goldschmidt you could put on this list, too.
And maybe Schwarber.
But I have to power rank them. And they're brought to you by SoFi. Get your money right. Thoughts? Anybody else?
It's a good list. I don't think there's deny. All 10, I think, will be in Cooperstown. Maybe Harper over Machado at 10. That could be the only pushback.
That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, I like the list.
It's a great list.
I do think Trout was, I mean, it's hard.
Where would you put Trout?
I mean, and this is just a question. Do you put Trout above one of the pitchers or no? Because they've won championships.
If we're talking about surefire, Trout could be number one on this list. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He has the highest WAR of anyone on this list. His WAR is 90.
But again, that's just arguing with like 5-4-3-2. Like, yeah, this.
Yeah, I'm not arguing if any of these are Hall of Famers. You're going to be 10 for 10 on this list. So I think it's a good list.
What about Stanton, too? We didn't think about
that. Stanton's going to the Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah, I know. Yankees could potentially have three Hall of Famers on their team right now, for sure. Like, with Goldschmidt, Cooper keeps saying, Dad, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, his numbers are 100% in that mix.
I never stopped what I was doing to watch Paul Goldschmidt, but...
No, I understand that, but did you stop what you were doing to watch Scott Rolen?
Yeah, he shouldn't be.
No offense.
I mean, he shouldn't be, but that's fine.
Come on. I don't think you can use that metric anymore with the Hall of Fame. Did you stop to watch?
The baseball writers have changed how they elect members.
I almost put Salvador Perez on this list.
He's going to the Hall of Fame, too.
I think so.
You know, I almost popped him at 10.
Look, Acuna, we didn't mention.
Couldn't push back.
I did mention Acuna to you yesterday.
I don't love the injury history for Ron.
Ozzy Albies on tomorrow's program. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH number to dial. But before we take a break, I want to let you know that if you're running a small business, you know every hire matters. A bad hire costs time and money, but the right one, well, that helps your business grow. The challenge is finding that person without sorting through resumes. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in, people. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. Back with more Tom Segura coming up in Studio Hour 3.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Need parts fast? O'Reilly Auto Parts has fast. Need them now? We've got now. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. We're O'Reilly Fast. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Rich Eisen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app and share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The Hyundai Palisade Hybrid, you can make every day feel epic in a Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Going to soccer practice, you're taking those kids, the gear and the snacks and the backpacks, you just know you got space, and you also know that you got comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats, because with this Hyundai Palisade Hybrid, you're getting up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details. James Gladstone, the general manager of your Jacksonville Jaguars, is joining us.
Check it out.
And pretty much you could smoke him if you got him during the first round of the draft for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they traded away their first-round draft choice to go move up, take themselves little Travis Hunter. And all I want to know is, have we given up the ghost? Is he only going to be a defender? No more offense for him anymore? Is that it? I would be so disappointed if he goes, yeah, that's
it. You were a big proponent of it.
Well, I was talking him into winning rookies both of the year into existence.
Yeah.
And Liam Cohen's like, yeah, I'm all for that.
You had high hopes for Travis. We're going to see.
Well, I still have high hopes for him. But, you know. And, however, you know, with the exchange of draft choices with the Browns, they wound up with Bashaul Tootin, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be their starting running back.
Seems like it, yeah.
What do you mean, seems like it? It's going to be. Why wouldn't it be? I don't know. Because Travis Etienne is now in New Orleans.
They got Chris Rodriguez, Jr.
Manny in El Paso. Let's take Manny. What's up, Manny?
Gentlemen, greetings from a 77-degree day in the Sun City.
Thank you, sir.
How are we all?
We're doing great. What's on your mind?
What up, though?
Well, first of all, sir, with many Yankee fans, it's still kind of hard with John Sterling passing away. His calls, especially in 2001, meant a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And were some of the greatest calls. Tino's home run, Scotty Brosius' home run, Jeter, the Brosius. Course, Aaron Judge. But he will be missed. Hopefully, with this, the Yankees can go into the navy blue jerseys as honoring them, since they were talking about wearing that one on the road.
I think they're wearing a patch, Manny, and it starts on the 18th of May. It's going to have a broadcast mic, and they're going to wear a patch the rest of the season in his honor. That's going to happen.
Yeah, it's almost like Bob Shepard. I remember Bob Shepard. But I think I have a solution for this flopping problem in the NBA.
We're all ears.
As my nephews call it, it's called being a free throw merchant, and that is shade with the Thunder. Now, we need to invoke hockey rules in the NBA. If you flop, we don't call it flopping. We call it what they call it in the NHL, embellishment. It even sounds cool. So if you embellish falling over, that's a two-minute power play for the other team. If there's a technical or flagrant foul, that's a four-minute penalty. So can you imagine the chaos, the high scorings when there's one player down and the other team's on a power play? I think since both sports are basically Canadian-based, we should invoke more hockey rules into the NBA. But that's my solution.
Thank you, Manny.
And that, gentlemen, that's all I got. It's good to chat with you guys. I love you guys. Let's watch some sports, everybody.
Woo!
All right, Manny in El Paso.
Yeah, I suggested that last year. Remember, Brockman? Like, what if at the end of the game you just
had five on four?
Five on four.
For like a minute.
Man, that's hilarious.
Didn't help the Celtics against the Sixers in the final 2 minutes.
I don't get it. But
I know. What do you mean you don't get it? There was a nice screen grab. Five on four. Down one. Take a three. Didn't matter. Just Boston slander. I'll take my shot every time.
Every time.
Well. And then, I said. And then. Not all the time.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.